I'm Peter Krug.
And our guest is Elena Mosley, who has with her Olivia and John, and they're going to talk about a trip to Uganda this summer. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
So we had a request that first, if you would say a little something about what Operation Unite is.
Well, Operation Unite is in its 19th, 20th year of programming in Hudson. We are currently an education and cultural arts center providing programs targeted at youth that are based in the arts. And in addition, we offer academic support and provide community programs for families as well.
I see. How many kids are involved in your various programs?
Somebody just asked me that today. It all depends on the program. We're not a community center, so I don't have like 80 kids coming a day. It depends on the program. There are 10 students in piano in the course of the year with the different dance modalities. There's about 60 kids going through that program. The music program has about in music, including the African dance, African music instruments as well, has about 25 kids in the course of a year. So it fluctuates, and when we do arts and ed programs in the schools, workshops, et cetera, the numbers go up to who we provide service to.
Now tell us about this trip to Africa.
Okay, well, on Tuesday, June 26th, we are off to Palisa, Uganda. And I have the good fortune of having five teens coming with me. They are all high school age students, and four of which are from Hudson High. And the other student, which you're going to hear from, is a former student of Hudson High, but still is a resident of our county and is attending.
And you said that there's a project of some kind you'll be involved with there. What's that?
Yes. Well, the Operation Unite Youth Exchange Program is getting involved with literacy with three of the schools there. In 2006 was my first youth exchange, and Operation Unite brought four students, and I had identified three schools that we worked in, and we're going to continue that relationship. The other big thing that we're doing is from an ongoing partnership with the Hudson Sister Cities. We started Sister Cities in Palisa, Uganda in 2005. That we being Carol Gans, Susan Saltman, myself, and some other Hudson residents. But the three of us went in 2005 to do the assessment to confirm that we can do a Sister Cities project and should do one. And then in 2006, Operation Unite sponsored the first youth exchange. In 2010, the Hudson Rotary, which I am a member of, and Sister City partnered to send solar ovens over. So we have the solar oven project going on now. And this past November in 2011, Carol Gans, myself, and my husband, Greg Mosley, we went back to make the assessment on the ovens. I wanted to see what, as a Rotarian, what I can do to promote the next step of what we can do with solar cooking for the nutrition project, and then also to set up the schools for the visit of the students that are going this time.
And what kind of a town is Palisa? I mean, is it a town the size of Hudson?
Well, Palisa is like a county, like we have Columbia County, but the town of Palisa is like Hudson. Most of the towns there are very rural and have maybe what we would call a 1 to 2 block radius of a business district of stores and, you know, maybe a main intersection, 1 block in each direction, you know, a bank, et cetera. That's it.
So, Olivia, is this your first trip abroad?
To Africa, yes. It's my first trip.
And so you're looking forward to that?
My heart is pounding just to think about it, you know, just to be in a third world country and to help out, you know.
And John, what about you? This is your first trip?
I guess you can say that. I'm from a third world country myself. So coming to, this is going to be my second time actually boarding a plane.
I see. Where are you from?
Haiti.
I see.
And both of these students are students, participants of Operation Unite. I think John started participating when he was maybe 7.
about around then eight.
Seven, eight. Started in our drum corps, branched out into our hip-hop and African dance and drum program and our piano program. Olivia started definitely at seven as a dance student and then branched into our piano, our music program. So they've been with us for several years.
Elena neglected to mention the government program that Operation Unite runs, and I think Olivia was a participant in that as well, and John was not.
This year as well.
Oh, well, I wasn't involved in it this year, but as I recall, Olivia, were you acting as the Common Council president?
I was for just a split moment this year, but definitely last year. But a young lady that's in the studio right now was the Common Council president.
Uh-huh, we have a new participant.
And
hello, my name is Jennifer Ben.
Jen was this year's Common Council president. Her and Olivia and John are both seniors and in school, but Jen having been an avid participant, great organizer and leadership, was the Common Council president for the entire Mark Common Council meeting that we had this year.
It's wonderful because you get to wield the gavel. That's kind of fun.
Oh, she did that.
She made sure she put the order in the court at that day.
One of the things with the youth government program, because I feel it's one of the best programs that we have for our high school population, is the fact that they are learning about Robert's Rules of Order and how to chair and govern meetings. And one of the things that happens if a meeting is being run well, the chair is there to chair the meeting and not give personal opinion. So when our Common Council President, Jen, decided that she wanted to bring an issue up on the agenda that she prepared, she relinquished her chair to Miss Olivia, who stood in as Common Council President. And then we had to shake her to get the chair back, to relinquish it back to Jen. But it all went smoothly. What do you say about that, John?
I was not giving it back without a fight.
She was not trying to come out that chair, I'm telling you. She enjoyed that gavel too much.
Now, what will Olivia and John and tell me your name again,
Jen,
be doing in Uganda?
I'm going to have John start with one of the first pieces of that question answers.
All right. So, while in Uganda, we'll be traveling to three different schools. Three different schools. Like Ms. Mosley said, we'll be putting together solar ovens, and we'll be putting together solar panels and making solar ovens. As and ladies, would you like to say anything else about that or
about the
solar ovens and solar panels?
Well, we would also be helping out, not only with the solar panels, but in their literary program as well. And there are people that are donating books and such to the literary program, so shout outs to them in Hudson.
Recently, we actually just sent 2 tons of books out. About last month, I believe?
About 6 weeks ago,
we sent 2 tons of books that will be distributed while we are in Uganda.
And these are all books in English?
These are English books, and I just want to say that initiative of the 2 tons of books was part of Sister Cities partnering with Hudson Rotary, where Carol Gans from Sister Cities initiated the book project. She's been collecting these books since our initial trip in 2005, and we were able to get Jody Rail, the proprietor of Solarqua Power and Art, on board in the Sister Cities. He helped store the books once we collected them from storage places, including Operation Unite, and put them on the crates and was able to, you know, help us package it and help us with the shipping. They're going to be going to Palisse, Uganda to help organize the town community library. So one of the things that we will be doing is receiving The books will, at this point, we are working to get them transported. They arrive in Mombasa on the 16th, like 2 days from now. And then they're going to be transported to Palisa. And we're going to then proceed with some of the sorting. And depending on the directions from Carol Gann, she'll let us know. But I believe there is some bookshelving that has to be built, etc. This is sort of the preliminary start of the library. The literacy program that our five students are going to be doing will come from books and stories that they probably grew up with that we'll be using to read to the students from like third grade and under.
And so these students in Uganda have already been studying some English, I guess.
You know, believe it or not, actually, what a lot of individuals might think is that Africa isn't a English-speaking country, when actually it kind of is, depending on which areas that you actually travel to. For example, Western Africa, they mainly speak French because they're in that near that zone. So as for Eastern Africa, you're actually gonna have more English-speaking languages, because long time ago, back in the day, that's what was colonized there. So based on where you are, actually where we're in Uganda, it's gonna be mainly English-speaking.
Are there other languages in Palisa, for example?
I believe so. Ms. Mosley, what's the other languages?
Luganda, mm-hmm. That's one of them, and that's only one that I can really remember because I made sure I bought the book to try to look it up. Swahili is one of those languages that you hear about, or you know, I've taught kids about during Kwanzaa. You hear about when you're learning about Africa, languages that are sort of like universal. There are people who speak Kiswahili, and it is used exactly as a language to help translate across a group of people. The average person that I have met in my five trips to Africa, four to Uganda, the average person speaks about four different languages. The proper language of the school system is English. They do speak English with somewhat a British accent. There are the schools that we go to, the public school, the high school, English is no problem. St. Jude's is K-8. It's a private grade school. English is no problem. Osupa Primary is the public grade school from K-8. And we found that some of the students that we expected to speak English did not speak English as well. Most of that is because they're a product of a public school system, which is extremely poor. And therefore, the quality of the teachers are such that they may not speak English as well, so they can't really teach it to the younger students. So we started staying with third grade and lower. But at the Osupa Primary School, we may be working with third, fourth, and fifth graders, whereas their English is a little bit better.
Imagine if I could speak five languages.
Well, how many do you speak?
Two and a half. I guess speaking, not being able to speak French fluently, but French Creole, I do speak fluently. And English is obviously one of them.
So I say John probably has a heads up on us. Jennifer and Olivia, do you have another language?
I speak Spanish, partially, and I speak Patois, which is like a Jamaican language.
Okay.
I don't know if that counts or anything.
Everything counts.
I also speak Spanish, and I speak a little bit Italian.
Oh, I took a couple of Italian classes.
Look at that. Well,
buongiorno.
Well, I say we're in good standing as far as some of the languages. Most of the African languages that are spoken, many people in the same room won't speak it, because when you are raised in a village, you speak the language of your mother, you speak the language of your father, and you may pick up at least two languages that are spoken within a 20-minute radius anywhere where you are, and you pick that up from your friends and classmates or people that you deal with at the market. And that's pretty much how language is used as a communication tool. And market is on Saturday in Palisa. It's a beautiful transition just to watch the setup. Friday evening, people start coming miles and miles of walking. They start coming from every direction into set up for market Saturday morning. And the colors of the clothing by itself is just so different from here. It's beautiful. There's women and there's children and traditional carrying of wood and clothing and items to sell on the heads, and bicycles are stacked, you know, way high. We wonder how they balance the bananas and how they balance all the goods to sell. But it's like an exodus that you see. And that Saturday, just the first time I saw it, reminded me of when I had my children, teenagers, of going to the mall. It's a big social day.
And it's produce and clothing and anything that people want to buy and sell. Is that right?
Yeah, but mostly it's produce and clothing. Pilisa, Uganda, is about 4 hours out of the capital in Kampala. And so we are really out in the bush. And most people are very poor but grow some of their food. So most people will be selling, you know, goods and fruits and vegetables. Used clothing is a huge business in many countries, as is in Pilisa. So that's another part of the market. There's also, you know, material and clothing and things like that that are brand new. Most of the items that are new are material. So people who are sewing and things like that. It's not too many varieties, but they're basically the things that people need to get them through the week.
How do you all travel from Kampala? By bus?
We travel by vehicle. Right now we will be in two cars, or we may be in a car and in a van, like a minibus type of van. Well, there's going to be 7 of us, 5 students, myself and my husband Greg, but we also come with suitcases. And that's the big problem. And most of the cars are very small.
How long will you be there?
2 weeks.
I can't wait to put those things on top of my head in balance. I'm just saying. I just want to put that out there.
Like the Cat in the Hat book. You know that guy, how he balanced so much stuff on his hands. I bet I can beat him.
You know, the weirdest thing is that I watched my mother do that. And she was coming from ShopRite. So picture a regular person in jeans and a shirt or whatever. And then next thing you know, she puts a little padding on her head and is carrying little Juicies. That was funny. It was kind of, I was young, so I was kind of embarrassed because it's a bit abnormal in Hudson, New York. But it's culture, you know.
You could start a trend in Hudson, New York.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, ain't it? There's nothing wrong with that.
Jen, another stop that we're going to be making is at the Ngeye Clinic. And this is a clinic that's located in the town of Masaka, which is about 40 miles out of Kampala, the capital. And it's a stop that I made in November on behalf of the Hudson Rotary. We were asked to supply funding to help with the malaria nets that's needed. Jen, can you tell us what we might see at the Ngeye Clinic?
Well, it's a very poor clinic, so we're not going to see much. It's definitely not going to look like what we think like one of the clinics over here look like. Like there's cribs that are just like, I don't know, not well put together, and it's just they're up to date, but then like they're up to date for where they are, but to us it just seems very poor.
You know, if you think about it, it's as if what we receive at Walmart or what's going out of style for us, maybe even 2-3 years later down the line, maybe just what they're getting at their little their shops, like Miss Moses said, you know, used clothing and used things are new to them, you know, because and honestly, they're fortunate to have what they can get, you know. And that's, honestly, if you think about it, that's something that a lot of people are missing nowadays, and they're not fortunate of what they have.
They said that the poorest American is often the richest African, you know, and a lot of what America and a lot of people in our community, they take for granted what's given to them, as opposed to a starving child in Africa or in Uganda, in Pilisa, that, you know, would want the juicy or would want a bread, and we just toss it away as if it's nothing, or toss away our couches on the streets when they see that couch and they're like, wow, like that could be used for my house, you know? So it would be like an eye-opening experience just to go to Africa and see and be grateful for what we do have.
I think this is definitely going to be a life-changing experience for all five of us.
Definitely, definitely a life-changing experience. Ellen?
I just wanted to ask, I'm shifting things a little, I think, how this trip is being paid for.
Oh, I can answer that.
Why don't you start? I'm going to let everyone do a piece of that.
Okay, well, funding for this trip, we're actually currently raising money. And what we'll be doing after basically money is being borrowed. So if we do not raise the maximum amount that we're looking to raise, which is $3,000 per student that is going, we're actually once we come back from Uganda, we're actually going to continue fundraising.
Okay, so Jen, you want to talk about one of the fundraising projects?
We've been doing a lot of fundraising projects. We recently had a table at Flag Day, and we have tables at various stores. We actually have one this Saturday at Yankee Dollar. Also, we do we were selling pizzas for fundraisers. We've been selling candy, soda, water. We try to do as much as we can. And, yeah, we also wrote letters to some businesses asking them to help out or give us a donation, because anything that they give us really counts and helps us.
We also have been collecting bottles from local stores like Planet Fitness. We collect bottles like at least once a week. They were like affiliated. We're friends now. And Etsy as well. A big company. Another way we can do it, like for our own benefit, because we do group fundraising as well as individual fundraising. Like Jen can talk more about the wallets and stuff. And that's been going around Hudson and made the newspaper, so that's pretty cool. That's really cool, actually. You can yard sale, donate, buy cans. There's cans sold everywhere, especially in Operation Unite. So
yes, you know, anybody, if you want to help make a difference, please. We're located in Operation Unite, 360 Columbia, Hudson, New York. Our phone number is 518-828-3612.
That's 518-828-3612.
And you can just make a donation to Operation Unite.
Yes.
And specify it's for the trip.
Yes, that it's for the trip. I just want to just backtrack a little bit on Olivia's comment about the wallet. Jennifer and Shaniqua Tomlinson got together and put together a wallet project to help raise money. So I want to give Jen the opportunity. She's not just one of the co-founders of the company. She also is one of the designers with hands-on in it.
So me and Shaniqua, we came up with an idea to help fundraise. What we do, we make handmade duct tape wallets, and we call them our chauffeur wallets. We also make like coin purses or like bows, and like we make a lot of stuff, and this is one of the things we were doing to raise money.
Tell us a little bit about the wallets, what they're like.
Oh, well, they pretty much could look like anything you want it to look like. Some of them are like real plain or simple, or then some of them gets really creative and like different.
We're looking at one right now, which is bright green, and it has black and white mustaches on it. So
it is sold. It's a checkbook case that's sold, made by Sharifa. Shaniqua.
Whoa!
Sharifa. I hope. You better hope she's not looking.
Black and gold listening. And red wallet.
These are nice. Now, the tape comes with these printed.
Yeah, we buy the printed tapes and the solid tapes, and we just put them together however we see fit. And sometimes we make little cutout designs on them. And
how much do you get for a wallet like that?
$6.
Where do you find such duct tape?
Where in the world do you find such finely decorated duct tape?
We usually just go to Walmart or Five Below or something, but yeah, they're all over the place, or you could get them online and, you know. Yeah,
Peter, you're out of touch with the duct tape world.
Well, you've heard about the duct tape prom gowns, right? There's a contest every year. There's a duct tape contest every year that's been gaining popularity for at least the last 5 years. And the students win big bucks for college by making their prom gown and prom suit outfit out of duct tape. And duct tape is just now at another level from what we know. You know, we grew up with just plain duct tape. Right, it's popular. You know,
I have duct tape bed sheets.
You can make a bow out of duct tape.
No, I was just kidding. I don't have duct tape bed sheets.
Yeah. A bow, you can make a... What's those things that hang from tree to tree?
Monkeys?
A hammock?
Oh. A hammock, yes. You can even make one of those. I was watching it on TV one time.
You can make a lot of stuff out of duct tape, and me and Shanika, we just saw that this would be a very good idea because not many people make duct tape stuff, so it's new to other people.
Maybe you should go to the duct tape company and ask, since you're using their product so much and that's a form of advertisement for them, maybe they would give you a grant to help you have this trip and make even more duct tape products.
That's an amazing
idea. I'm serious.
Idea.
Maybe it would work.
That is
worth
an amazing
a try.
Idea.
I want to buy one.
I want to buy one too.
This orange one is sold. But this black and gold one is for sale. $6 special.
Okay. Hey.
We just made a donation.
Thank you. Let's see. The Engaye Clinic that Jen was talking about before is one of the clinics that's a little bit more progressive than the community hospital that we're going to be visiting in Palisa. The Engaye Clinic already has a solar system installed for power. One of the main clinic rooms is used 4 times a year for visiting hospitals and Doctors Without Borders, things like that, that come into their village. And they, because of the solar, they're able to see clients around the clock, and if someone comes in the middle of the night. Even though it's very small, it has this progression from being in existence for a few years, about, I think, 4 or 5 years. Whereas in Palisa, the clinics are not as fortunate. They're not as progressive because the money is just not it's just not there. And like the Engaye Clinic, if Palisa is going to progress, it's going to take private funding and donations to get these type of initiatives started. So what we're going to do at the hospital, we're going to look at the solar ovens that were donated from the Hudson Rotary and Sister Cities project. And we're actually going to be learning to cook some of the local foods and participate in the cooking of the foods because they're at the hospital. And in Palisa and many countries, if you're a patient, there is no food. They don't have dietary or linens and housekeeping and maintenance. They don't have those departments the way we rely on them as part of our healthcare system. So if you don't have a friend or family to bring you food and or cook it, you don't eat. And as a former nursing person, health and wellness is tied into nutrition for your just for your body, your skin, your cells, everything to heal and get better. You need to be well nourished. So that's one of the areas that they're going to have a hands-on participation in.
Is the diet sort of based around rice or corn, or what's the sort of staple?
The food is very different. I thought rice was popular. I just learned this last trip that rice was something that was really introduced to many of the people who are eating it. It was more of a Western food that started coming over. My favorite is matoke, which is a mashed banana. Millet is the wheat, so you got millet bread. There is a staple food that they eat that's a tape, and it's grown from like a bean or berry in a bush. I saw that for the first time because I didn't understand what they were eating, but it's put together and it's sort of like a very textured type of oatmeal or something like that that's eaten. Different types of foods, but then there are There's, I already mentioned matoke as a banana, but then it's cooked another way. There's a chuca is like a Spanish type of food, and but it's over there too. And you just have to look at different things, and you can see the similarities in what people are eating. There's fish. There's these tiny miniature fish, and I don't know the name. They're like pencil thin, maybe like 2 inches, an inch and a half. And it looks like it takes like 100 of them to make a meal. That's very popular. And apparently it's abundant, so they eat a lot of it, lot of it. And then there's, of course, at the market, there's still the raw meats and things like that that people, do sell. And lots of vegetables, lots of fresh, green-grown vegetables.
What kind of fruits are grown there?
Bananas. Jackfruit is... I don't know if anybody's heard of jackfruit.
Yeah, I know jackfruit.
Uh-huh. Jackfruit looks like a looks like a big yellow type of maybe oblong melon.
And it could and be 20 or 30 pounds. They're huge.
Yes, uh-huh. And it's one of those things that when you see it, people tell you don't sit under it because people make a mistake, and when it falls on you, you can die, and people do. So jackfruit is something that's out there. Papaya is served
papaya.
A lot.
I never had papaya.
I love it. I'm going to make juice when we get there.
Okay.
Anything else you all would like to say before we leave?
Just to backtrack to the clinic that Ms. Mosley was talking about, with the linens there, if you don't have, if you don't bring your own sheets and stuff to lay on, then you won't have anything to lay on, because, the beds there are just, empty plain beds, and you have to bring your own sheets for them to put on there. Yeah. So.
People don't have sheets. A mother might bring a mat for her child.
How about some duct tape sheets?
You guys can borrow mine from my house. I'm willing.
I hope when you get back from this trip that you will come back and tell us about it.
Yeah,
of course, of course.
Or else have a public lecture where you tell the public about it and you charge money for it. If you're still needing money at that point, you may raise it all before you go.
Sarah Kendall had given me a recorder specifically for the trip just to have a day-by-day journal of not just myself, but the whole documentary of what's going on there and the improvements and the conditions of Palisa. So,
Will you have internet access while you're there?
Yes, yes, I will. I'll have internet access.
That reports directly.
Hey. Well, actually, we can, and that's something that all of them will be taking a part of. Charles O'Dere is my partner. He happens to be a Rotarian from the Kampala East Rotary, and he has been such a gracious host whenever we come. Besides giving a car, a driver, he provides me with my cell phone, because you need a new one over there. You don't want to use your cell phone from here.
Texting.
Gives me a cell phone, and I had a flash disk last time that gave me the internet access that I needed, with my laptop. So I was connected all the time. So it was really pretty cool. I just want to say that the other solar project that we're doing has to deal with solar lighting. And we are actually taking the plastic water bottles and making sort of like an Art Deco lampshade out of the water bottles. So if you look at the water bottles and the 2-liter size soda bottles, they make pretty beautiful, petal-like lampshades. And we're going to be taking them with the solar light sticks that you find on people's driveways and walkways. We're going to be taking those and making lighting units, because with the students that we're going to be interacting, we realize that if we can increase the education of the students, we increase the education and income of a family, which then improves the community. And when you increase the level of education in the community, everyone prospers and communities just grow 1,000 times over and over. So what we're going to be doing with this is trying to provide lighting for one student at a time. We're going to begin with the solar, little solar units, and doing the lampshade, so that we're introducing lighting to people who have never had any lighting. And then the solar panels that John is talking about is a pilot program where we're going to be bringing a few panels over. And the solar lighting lampshades are from an artist, an idea that came out of Solakwa Power and Art, which is located here in Chatham. And I mentioned Jody Rail before. Well, Jody Rail just hosted 13 students from Hudson High, myself and two faculty members. Thanks to the Arts and Humanities grant, I was able to get this grant to take students over to tour the facility to look at his prototypes for solar ovens that we want to get into making for our next trip, and also to look at the solar plastic water bottle lampshades that we're going to be making for this trip. So we did that, and then Jeevan owns Lotus Energy, which is right across the 7th Street Park here in Hudson. And with Jeevan, we have ordered solar panels, and each solar panel comes in a kit that we put together, and each solar panel has four lights that attach to it, and these lights dissemble like flashlights. And in the trip in November, Carol, Gans, myself, my husband, we left a panel to be shared with three farm families. So one person has the panel, and in the evening, the other two members can come over and get their light. We took one of those lights, and my husband brought his duct tape and made a little handle and hung it in the middle of one of the huts, and it just lit the whole hut. When the lights went out in Palisa, and most people don't have lights on a regular basis anywhere in Uganda, that panel and those lights lit up the main congregation room lobby in the hotel that we were staying in. And we were, like, very popular because we had lights, like, every every night. And when the generator was out, we had lights. So we're working with Jeevan to possibly raise money to get about 20 panels, but that will be for another trip. Right now we're going to bring two panels, thanks to Carol Gans and Sister Cities, over with us as part of that pilot project. And they're going to be given to people who normally do not have electricity. And again, on that working together share basis, where they're going to figure out how to make this work, but allow for lighting. And like I said, our purpose with lighting is about education. That's a big project and very important.
Well, have a wonderful trip, and thank you all for coming today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
That was John Nathan.
Thank you.
Jennifer Ben.
Olivia.
Olivia Williams. She's a WGXC in-house rat.
And Elena Mosley. Thank you all very much.
Thank you all for having us.